All right, please be seated. As I'd mentioned before, my dear friend Mike Brennan's going to come up here in a minute, and just to give you a little idea, how this came about. I've known Mike now since 97, I think, 15, 16 years. We became just delightful friends. Thank you. Leading us in worship here and helping with the worship here at Calvary Chapel of Northern Kentucky in the very, very early days, as well as having the horrendous task of trying to teach me how to play guitar, which I think was probably the only failure in his life. He now is so blessed with a position at Liberty University in Lynchburg, where he lives with his wife Monica and his beautiful daughter Elizabeth. They're both faculty at Liberty. Mike in the music department. He's an associate professor. Is that right? Associate professor in music, as well as leading worship at the church they attend in Liberty there, in Lynchburg, I mean. So it's just such a delight. I've been listening to his music, ever since it's been recorded for the last 10 plus years. We hooked back up on the way to South Carolina during the spring, and the Lord put it on our hearts that, you know, maybe he could come out here and bless us with the amazing talent that God has given him. And music has such an incredible impact on us. It's been with us since the garden, frankly, and it has an amazing way to transform, to change souls. And especially when it's used to glorify God, and it's used to honor God, and Mike has that amazing talent to do that. So it's going to be an instrumental program, and he's going to teach us through some of these things and about the power of music, and it's going to be a time of worship and praise, really more than anything else. And as I mentioned before, it's not a program. It's not for entertainment purposes. It's for glorifying God. So you can love on him and certainly Monica and his family afterwards and be blessed by it. But if you would check that out, thank you. Just hold your applause during this time, because it is a teaching. Unless you guys are used to applauding me, which I've never heard. So it's not a thank you. So it's not a practice that you have normally. So it wouldn't be necessary today. So Mike, come on up, man, and while we're getting these things squared away, Jonathan and Sarah, if you want to come on up, we're going to pray for you guys for your travels.
Is it okay if I use this one?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for having me here. As Pastor Brian mentioned, I was once part of this fellowship, not in this building, but across town. I think it was Hebron, correct? Yeah. Cool. Thanks. Thanks. And so, what I'm doing in this program is marrying two of my loves, and that is the Word of God, Scripture, and music, and worship. And so, as Pastor Brian mentioned, it's instrumental, and I hope that some of the songs you'll recognize, I'll share with you some lyrics. I think he's going to put lyrics on there. But I wanted to share not just the music, but the meaning behind the music, the one that we worship, not just the music for its own sake, as Pastor Brian mentioned. And so as you can see on the screen, this first song, which is called One Thing Have I Desired, an old Maranatha song, I think it was written in the 70s. And since I was saved in 1984, these are the songs I cut my teeth on, so I'm partial to them. And some of the old hymns are going to be present as well. And so I just want to share these with you. And if you want to sing along in your heart or out loud, I don't mind at all. I just want it to be a time where you're not focusing on me as much as you're focusing on the Lord and how he wants to be worshiped. And hopefully you'll be blessed by it. So here's One Thing Have I Desired of the Lord, which comes from Psalm 27:4. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after. Think about that. One thing, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are afar off and to those who are near. Through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. And then in 1 Peter 5, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares on him, for he cares for you. This next song, He Is Our Peace, is, again, one of those old Maranatha songs. And it's just really like, one thing have I desired the Lord, a song that comes directly from the Scripture. Pastor Brian and I were talking this morning about how much we love those kinds of songs, because when you're singing them, you're singing Scripture. You're singing God's very words back to him. That's what he wants. He cares about our thoughts. He cares about what we have to say about him. I think more importantly is what he says about himself. This next piece I want to do is actually not an arrangement of mine. It's by Johann Sebastian Bach, and it's a piece that I think we're all familiar with. It's called Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring. And I wanted to share a little bit about that. It comes from a chorale, which comes from a cantata, which Bach wrote explicitly for the church. And he wrote over 300 of these. Some of them were secular. Most of them were sacred in nature, and they're about 20 minutes. So it's basically writing a worship set for a given Sunday rather than just putting together a bunch of different songs like most of us worship leaders do. But he wrote this music, and he wrote chorus and soloists and instrumentals. And this piece the Yesu Joy of Man's Desiring, comes from a cantata called Herz und Mund und Tat und Leben, or Heart and Mouth and Deed and Life. And here are the words as they're translated. Jesus shall remain my gladness, essence of my heart, its hope. Jesus from all grief protecteth. He is of my life its strength, of mine eyes the sun and pleasure, of my soul the joy and treasure. Therefore I will Jesus not from my heart and sight allow. Moving back to the present, I'm modifying today to allow for time constraints. This next song, as I became a new Christian, was very powerful in my life. And it's called Via Dolorosa. Via Dolorosa is translated the way of suffering. And I, back in the mid-80s, early mid-80s, there wasn't a lot of music, Christian music to listen to. I was part of that 80s metal thing, you know, had long hair and everything. And so I'm looking for music that I can like, you know, and of course, some of the music that I'm playing, you might qualify as elevator music that I love now, but it's kind of a funny thing. But the Lord began to bring different musical groups into my life. But one that you wouldn't expect is a lady named Sandy Patty. I think you all heard of her. And this song, I don't remember if I heard on the radio or what, but it profoundly moved me. And so I still have the cassette somewhere, and it has this song on it and some other songs that I probably never listened to. But this is the one song that I listened to, and it's so beautiful and so moving. And I wanted to share with you the words of this song, talking about giving God's words back to him. But these are some very powerful words. And are they up there? I'm going to read them anyways. Down the Via Dolorosa. In Jerusalem that day, the soldiers tried to clear the narrow street. But the crowd pressed in to see the man condemned to die on Calvary. He was bleeding from a beating. There were stripes upon his back, and he wore a crown of thorns upon his head. And he bore with every step the scorn of those who cried out for his death. Down the Via Dolorosa, called the Way of Suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. But he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me, down the Via Dolorosa all the way to Calvary and the bridges. The blood that would cleanse the souls of all men made its way through the heart of Jerusalem. If any of the arrangements that I've done, if there's any one song that I think of the lyrics, and this is the one, they're ringing in my head, I'm thinking of them. And I hope they're up there and you think about them as the Lord just impresses on the thing that he did for us and how so many, even today, as we know, reject God's love. Next song I'd like to do for you is an old Irish tune that was made into a hymn, Be Thou My Vision. I'd like to read for you the first line, the first verse. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart, not all else to me save that thou art. Thou my best thought by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Psalm 138 is a wonderful scripture, and this there's actually something in there that I think we as Christians should know specifically. But it says, "I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with the strength of my soul." You know, as worship leaders, we talk about worship. We talk about extolling the name of God. Of course, that goes beyond just music, right? When you give your offering, when you come to serve in the nursery, or anything that you do is an act of worship, not just singing a song. But did you get what it said in verse 2? He said, "For you have magnified your word above all your name." Yeah, I attended Calvary Chapel, but I was saved in a Calvary Chapel in 1984 in West Covina, California. Pastor Raul Reese was the pastor of that church, and he's since moved. And I went to this church, and I heard, and for those years that I was there till about 1991, and then I moved to a different Calvary, and then I moved out and came to Cincinnati and different places, I always looked for a Calvary. And one thing that I love about Calvary Chapel is the emphasis on the Word of God. I think that shaped who I am. And I bet that's shaping who you are, and that's shaped who you are. But notice what he says in Psalm 138. "I have magnified my word above your name." Now, who do we swear to when we go to a court of law? So help me God, right? Who does God swear to? His word. His word is so powerful. So remember that as you're reading his word, as you're hearing Pastor Brian teach or listening on the radio, whatever, it's his word that he magnifies above even his name. I apologize. I forgot to turn to the right page. I've modified this program to fit. I did it about a month ago at my church, and I did a more extended version. And maybe someday I'll come back. You know, one of the things I'd like to maybe just take a moment, if I could. You know, I think one of the things I've seen at Calvary, particularly with Pastor Rawl, is that there were many times, I was even thinking of that this morning, how he would interrupt his message to share a message of not only encouragement, what's the word I'm looking for, Brian? Exhortation, thank you, that's exactly the word. If there's anybody that can exhort, it's Pastor Rawl. And maybe to the extreme, but man, I learned so much. And so many times he didn't use his notes, he just went on and on. And you know, sometimes that's what we need to share with people, whether it's from a pulpit or just across the fence with your neighbors, is sharing your heart of what God's doing in your life, because that's important. Just like your testimony is important, because that's something that nobody could say, well, that's not true. That is true. It happened to you. There's no denying that. And one of the things that's been on my heart for the last several months is the overwhelming sense that Jesus is coming back soon. I just wanted to take some time to encourage you. I've been telling my friends and just share. I've not really gotten a chance to get in front of a church body or a class or anything like that of late, but just there's an overwhelming sense. And one of the things I was thinking about was, I want to say it's in 1 Thessalonians. I thought I had it marked here. But just let me just share it with you. The Bible says we're appointed not to wrath, but to God's grace. And so, you know, in Calvary, the majority of us, and of course at Liberty, same thing. Liberty is like Calvary Chapel, except they don't believe in tongues. But I don't know. I don't speak in tongues, so it never really bothers me. But, you know, Southern Baptists and Calvary Chapels are really right there. And, you know, we believe that the rapture is going to happen at this time, point of time, and then the tribulation breaks forth. We're not going to be here. Some people believe we're going to be here in the middle. Some we're going to be all the way through it. But we're not appointed to wrath, the Bible says. But as the old H.A. Ironside book says, not wrath, but rapture. And so I just want to encourage you that if you're feeling overwhelmed by, you know, you look over, and part of the reason why I think this way is I look over the political landscape and I think, oh my goodness, they're listening to every text I send. They're listening to every phone call I make. They're looking at my emails. Maybe not me. Maybe not you. I don't know. Maybe, you know, you work for the government or something. But, you know, I don't want to be political here, but I've been very careful what I post on Facebook, because I don't know who's looking at it. Who's going to say, well, this guy's, he's a malcontent. Let's you know. And I just believe that, you know, when I became a Christian, I heard, oh, Jesus is coming back. Okay, I believe that. But you just kind of plan for life. But now I believe it's imminent, like never before. And so I wanted to encourage you. This next song I want to play, Be Still My Soul, another old hymn. It actually comes from a piece by a Finnish composer, John Sibelius. He wrote a piece called Finlandia. And in this cacophonous symphonic poem that he wrote, it pauses for this hymn. Now, the hymn is to the motherland, Finland, but somebody came and put some words to it that I think you'll appreciate. Beautiful melody. The first line, or the first verse is, "Be still, my soul, the Lord is on my side. Bear patiently the cross of grief and pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend. Through stormy ways leads to a joyful end." And of course, the greatest of all the passages for that sentiment is Psalm 46. "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging." That may happen sooner rather than later. And then down to verse 8, come and see what the Lord has done. The desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So if you're feeling like you're overwhelmed because it's coming in on every side, your job, every situation, your bills, they're piling up. The Lord says, be still. The Lord showed me several years ago that until I have a big problem in my life, he can't show his power. Because, well, I just got up my credit card and I solved that problem, or I went to my friend and he has connections and he solved that. What about when you come to that place where, I'm at the end of myself. I have nothing left. No friends, no credit cards, no nothing can take care of this. That's when God shows his power. Be still and know that I'm God. You trust him for your salvation, right? Trust him for every of these deals. That's the biggest deal, right? Being saved, knowing that you're going to spend eternity with Jesus. That's number one. But what about these little difficulties on earth? He cares about those. He knows every hair on our head. He takes care of the sparrows. He takes care of the lilies of the field, etc. So remember, that big problem, it's not too big for God. And that's when he gets to show his power, when there's a big problem in our lives. I'm running out of time here today. Maybe one more? Okay. This last one I'm going to do is, Daniel in here? No, he's not in here. Okay. Well, I'm going to do this, again, another hymn. And it's called I Surrender All. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like to play this hymn. And then I'd like for us to sing just the chorus. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. If you could just maybe sing that with me. And I don't know if Daniel's going to come up here and help out or whatever. But that's okay. I just want us to maybe in prayer, make that our prayer today. I surrender all. What else is there to do in life? Brian and I were talking last night. I'm 47 years old. As I get older, I look at my life and I say, if I'm not living for the Lord, what is it all for? I just want to surrender all. Now, I can say that. I don't want to pretend like, you know, I don't have cares of the world. You know, I like things, but I want Jesus to be my all in all. You know, some of you might have heard the saying, baseball is life. The rest is details, right? Or to me, Christ is life. The rest are details. And so everything that we do, let's do it heartily unto the Lord, not unto men. And so if you wouldn't mind joining me at the end, and we'll sing that together.
Blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Thank you all for coming. Thank you, kids. I appreciate. I know it's not easy to sit. I very much appreciate you all being here, and God bless you all.
I'm just really blessed. Just an amazing salve for the soul and the weary heart as we consider the Lord. Just looking upon Him in this time and worshiping Him, and also hearing the words that He has to say to us and. And so just thanks again, Mike, for making the trip and blessing us with that. The scripture that came to mind through all of this is, rejoice in the Lord, from Psalm 33. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp. Well, I haven't met anybody recently that knows how to play the harp, and they're hard to come around with. So praise the Lord with the guitar. Make melody to Him with an instrument of six strings. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully the shout of joy. For the word of the Lord is right, and all His work is done in truth. And so we really appreciate that, that God has given us this marvelous gift of music. And I would encourage you to cultivate that part of your life, to use music as a wonderful way to rejoice in the Lord and again, to satisfy your own soul with it. And that means that you pick the right music, that you pick the kind of things that do indeed satisfy, as we talked about last week. This may have been recorded, it may not have been. I have no idea how the quality of the music is on this recording, but that's okay, because what Michael sang or what Michael played today is available on disc over there, and so you're welcome to pick those up. So having said that, Danny and Victoria and Jonathan, you want to come on up and close us out in a time of worship? If you would stand, please, for the blessing. And then next week, of course, we will resume our normal teaching, and it will be, again, in Ezra chapters 1 and 2. As the Lord instructed Moses to bless the people. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And inasmuch as the Lord has saved you, He has made you His child, He's made you His own, He will indeed bless you.